He shoved her back down against the table. "Of course," he said. "You are family. Families don't murder one another." He looked up at Justine and said, "They share." She met his eyes. A very small, very hard smile graced Justine's features. "You wanted to taste her," Thomas said, his fingers twining with Justine's rubber-clad ones. "Well, Madeline, be my guest." Justine leaned over and kissed Madeline Wraith's forehead, her silken silver hair falling to veil them both. The vampire screamed. The sound was lost in the pounding rhythm and flashing lights. Justine lifted her head a few seconds later and swept her hair slowly down the length of Madeline's form. The vampire writhed and screamed again while Thomas held her pinned to the table. Wherever Justine's hair glided over exposed flesh, the skin sizzled and burned, blackening in some places, forming blisters and welts in others. She left a trail of ruin down one of Madeline's legs and then rose together with Thomas, two bodies making one motion. Madeline Wraith's face was a ruin of burn marks, and the imprint of Justine's soft mouth was a perfect black brand on pale flesh in the center of her forehead. She lay on the table, still pinned by the chopsticks, and quivered in jerking little motions, gasping and breathless with the pain. Thomas and Justine walked, hand in hand, to the stairs leading down from our platform. I followed them. They passed beneath an air conditioning outlet, and a few strands of Justine's hair blew against Thomas's naked arm and chest. Small, bright lines of scarlet appeared. Thomas didn't flinch. I walked over to them and passed Justine a pair of pencils taken from my coat pocket. She took them with a nod of thanks and quickly bound up her hair again. I looked over my shoulder as she did. Madeline Wraith lay helpless and gasping, but her white eyes burned with hate. Thomas took his t-shirt from where he'd stowed it on a belt loop and put it back on. Then he slid his arms around Justine again and pulled her against his chest, holding her close. "Will you be all right?" he asked. Justine nodded, her eyes closed. "I'll call the house. Laura will send someone for her."
"You leave her there and it's going to make trouble," I told him.
He shrugged.
"I couldn't get away with killing her, but our house has rather stern views on poaching."
Something hard and hot entered his eyes. "Justine is mine." Madeline had to be shown that. She deserved it. Justine clung a little bit tighter to him. He returned the gesture. We all started down the stairs together, and I was glad to be leaving Zero.
"Still," I said, "seeing her like that, I feel like maybe somebody went too far. I feel a little bit bad for her."
Thomas arched an eyebrow and glanced back at me.
"You do?"
"Yeah," I said. I pursed my lips thoughtfully. Maybe I shouldn't have said that Jessica Rabbit thing.